Oh man, Neil, you got anything to help with these scratches and itches? And
it's not good, Ed.
I don't feel very good.
I'm having a problem. I don't really want to talk about it on the air, but I'm gonna have to.
Yeah,
I need some schedules.
Yeah, I need some schedules too, man.
I'm basically willing to do whatever it takes to get schedules.
Anything.
I know people who have schedules.
If you've got,
but they're not giving them to us.
I'll pay you under the table, $20.
If you got some, you got to meet you like late at night, get them out of your trunk. I'll take them.
Yeah, at 1:30 in the morning, in a McDonald's parking lot right next to the Murray Police Department.
Yeah.
The cops will just quietly slip it to me.
Yeah.
This is Ed Marlowe.
Well, they want the schedules too.
Yeah.
So I think I can, grease the palm. At least I can show them the non-conference schedule.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, look, I can show you this if you'll let me go.
Ed Marlowe, Neil Bradley. This is the For Those Who Inquired podcast, and we are desperate for OVC men's and women's basketball schedules.
Yes.
We mean non-conference. We mean the full slate. We mean the full deal. None of this piece and parcel business. We need to know what's up.
And I know they're out there saying these scheduled people, like, well, we gave you the football schedules. What more do you want?
Mm. Football is enough for you.
But
no, it's not.
But no, you're not happy. What do you want next? Will you want the baseball and softball schedule? Yes, we will.
We'll take the baseball and softball schedules.
But right now, I'll take anything.
Yeah, I'll take the baseball and softball schedules right now. That'd be great. I'd love to know what the spring is going to look like. We are slightly being facetious here, but in all seriousness, we also know, just how much work is being put into play at the moment in regards to making these schedules come to life. There's a lot that still needs to be ironed out. But I think the reason that we're just so anxious for them is we're starting to see schedules develop for other conferences. We're seeing all these, these MTEs develop. We're seeing these tournaments start to take hold all across the nation. And we just want to know, what are the racers doing?
I know. And I don't have anything. There have been times in the past when I was privy to inside information. I have nothing.
There's no inside information.
I have
information.
Nothing. Mm-mm. So you're like, oh, you know something. You know something. No, I don't know anything.
No, I'm starving. I can tell you what we don't know. We don't know what the schedule is.
That is correct.
I can also tell you I have no idea what's supposed to happen with the Auburn game. I have no idea what's supposed to happen with any of the original, schedule and contracts. I don't know what they're going to do about Memphis.
No.
For men's basketball, and quite frankly, I'd love to know what Rochelle Turner is fixing to do. Obviously, they're going to want to continue to build their locker room. They're going to want to continue to build their facilities. I'm sure there are probably a couple of money games, if possible, that are in her mind. Let's continue. Let's keep this money train rolling, especially in a 2020-21 COVID-type season. Where can we go find the almighty dollar? Where can my women learn to get better at basketball? Those are just challenges that are all coming with the next few weeks. The reason that we're fiending, Neil, for these schedules is because we're really not that far away from what is supposed to be the start of the season.
And we're about to run out of stuff to cover.
Yeah, it's true.
Because right now we're covering high school, and they're into the regional tournaments for soccer, district for volleyball. That'll be to the regional level for volleyball next week. And
state soccer.
It's dry.
Yeah.
We got nothing after that.
We got a little bit of high school football. We'll see what happens with championships.
And that's weekly, though. That's once a week.
That's right. And
I could write something every day, but I think people are like, okay. They play so-and-so, shut up.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, about a lot of that is you talk about the well running dry. There does look to be, and I don't want to jinx anything because I know, knock on wood here, we've been fairly busy with sports, positive, negative, and everything in between, but, typically, this is the holdover where Murray State gets going.
Oh, yeah.
This is right around that time where we have OVC Media Day for basketball, men's and women's. This is right around the time where we get some polls.
Get an exhibition game.
We get an exhibition game within the next 3 weeks in a typical year.
Play election week.
Right.
That week is when you'll play a game.
Yeah. Think about this, Neil. Maybe for election week, you and I just doing an all politics podcast.
That wouldn't go
no,
well.
No, nobody would listen to it at all.
That would not go well.
Yeah. But I was just thinking about that. That's kind of what we're thinking about.
Yeah.
Like it's in the back of our mind. Like, is that possible?
In fact, that would be such a bad show. That's what we need to do. Threaten them. If you really want that show, keep holding out those schedules.
Yeah.
And we'll do that show.
That's a great threat.
It'll be an absolute horrible, horrible.
It would be
program.
Terrible. It would be like a blackmail. It'd be about like a presidential debate.
Ed is basically a commie socialist, and of course I'm a moderate. And then Ed has a. So what's your description of me, Ed? A right-wing fascist Nazi, probably. That was it. So,
that is hilarious.
Probably in reality, we're somewhere in between.
Yeah,
is what I'm guessing. But
I think in my mind, I would say that was terrific, Neil. This is not canned laughter. This is absolutely completely honest and natural laughter. I would assume, if I had to guess, and we'll only slightly dovetail here, but you probably are a described libertarian.
For the most part,
right?
I'm an independent registered.
Well, I'm registered independent.
Okay. Right.
I would say I'm a moderate who leans more toward Democrat. So, okay. I mean, I get it. I like to vote person instead of party, and that's why I registered independent. Yeah, that's how it all played out for me. So, but we've digressed. It's fun. We're very much looking forward to schedules.
So get the schedules.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah. That's where that's all coming from. And I know Parker Griffith, Dave Winder, Matt McMahon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Matt McMahon, Rochelle Turner, Kevin Saul, even Dr. Bob Jackson. I know they're in the OVC. It goes up and up and up.
Yeah.
I know they're working hard on it.
They are.
We'll get it soon.
They're having multiple meetings a week.
Yeah.
It's not like...
Yeah, that's why we're bringing this up. They're having discussions as we speak.
They're meeting
on this podcast.
One tomorrow.
Yeah.
The 21st, they have one scheduled. So
yep.
They usually meet one or two times a week and because they have a lot to hash out. And with them, it's not just the scheduling. I mean, they have all COVID things to consider.
A lot of protocol.
That you just can't imagine.
Yeah. You and I, Neil, for our two listeners out there, you and I basically have discussed over the last 2 weeks I guess basically to quietly warn or to just let people know, like, this is just so obvious, but it's just has to be said that it's going to be very different this year.
Yeah.
The protocol is going to be different. The number of fans is going to be different. The experience is going to be different. I know that, you know, sometimes like going to Murray State men's and women's basketball games for a lot of locals and regional fans, it's like going to Disney.
Yeah.
This is a fun time for you each week. This is an entertainment experience, and your entertainment experience is going to be different this year.
And before you commit to anything else, you look at the schedule for a lot of people.
Right.
Hang on. Let me see if I can do that. Let me see if the racers are at home.
Yeah.
And if they're at home, yeah, then I can.
There are a lot of people, and I'm glad you really brought that up. That's a home run point there that you know a lot of people in the local vicinity, I'd say within the 50-100-mile radius, do plan their activities based on season scheduling, season
sure.
tickets, where you know what games are you going to go to, who what family are coming in, where are you going to wrap around some of your family events, you know we're going to go to this game, we're going to go to that game, we're going to be here, we're going to have some buds over, and we've got some tickets for this game,
yeah.
And that's just very very different experience right now.
To show you how word doesn't get around though, I was at TAP last night playing trivia. We finished third. That wasn't what we were shooting for, but
that's lame,
at least
Neil.
That we showed. As they say in the horse racing industry.
Right.
And I had someone ask me, well, are they going to play football this year? I went, yes, they are. They're playing in February 21st, the first game. They laughed and went, are you serious? I went, yes, I'm serious.
Yeah, where have you been?
I don't know where they've been. But they didn't know. They thought I was kidding. It took me like a couple of minutes to convince them, no, they play this team, then they play, you know, they play SEMO, then, you know, Austin Peay is a game that's going to be played on a Saturday because of Easter weekend.
You need to direct those individuals.
Blew their mind.
Where have they been?
I don't know. Just kind of out of the loop, I guess.
Well, it's clear they don't have a subscription to the Paducah Sun, the Murray Ledger and Times, or to this podcast.
Exactly. If they did, they would know all those things.
Yeah.
But, so at least we have that schedule out there, even though there's some people that may not really know that. Still working on the basketball into that. But at least I do know, unless something else happens, when there will be football. And, in fact, we have another OVC team with a chance to go unbeaten.
Yeah.
And that is the Red Hawks of Southeast Missouri. They'll play on the 30th against SIU, have a chance for an unbeaten 2020. Not many teams can do that.
Yeah, no, not at all. Go 1-0.
Yeah.
The rule is, well, we're going to go 1-0 this week. What happens when you go 1-0 for 2020?
That's right. Because that's the only game they have in 2020. Now, the rest of their season schedule will carry over into February. But I'm telling you, I win that game, Ed. If I'm SEMO, I'm getting rings.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's our unbeaten 2020 team. 25 years from now, we're bringing those guys back.
You're national champions.
Here's the unbeaten team, 1-0 in 2020.
Yeah.
I would have fun with it.
I want to talk more about that game next week because there's actually – and I definitely want to talk about it now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited. First of all, it's two top 25 teams from the preseason polls,
yeah.
SIU and SEMO. And here's the one thing. It's been really fun to watch. I know you're a huge NFL fan these days, Neil, but – have you seen a single NFL game this year?
I've not seen a game. As I've told you, I haven't seen a few quarters. I work out Sunday afternoon, and when I'm on the treadmills, mm-hmm. there's usually games on, so I see plays of games while I'm on the treadmill, not hearing sound. You know, I got Metallica going.
There you go.
I got Mary Jane Girls going.
Perfect.
So that's what I have in my head. So I don't really know what they're saying.
Right.
But so that's all the NFL that I've seen is that.
Well, what I was going to get at is SIU's Jeremy Chinn, who was drafted by the Carolina Panthers, is playing extremely well as starting safety. Mm-hmm. We saw Chinn, you know, multiple times here at Murray State play for SIU. And, you know, that was something that Mitch Stewart and his staff always brought up is that they thought he'd be playing on Sundays. And they were correct.
Yeah.
He's a terrific player. But SEMO and SIU do get started on October 30th. It was originally supposed to be this Friday. A little bit of local vested interest in that game. I'm really excited to see how it plays out. Might even be able to crank out a feature depending on how it plays. Because former McCracken County star Skylar Mays has transferred from EIU to there and is preparing to play football for Nick Hill and those guys at linebacker or wherever he's needed, honestly. And then I believe sixth-year senior, based on some health and eligibility. He's had two or three injuries he's bounced back from, and he's been incredible. Is a former Graves County linebacker, running back, Cody Kreider, starting linebacker for SIU. So two former first district football stars, one a little bit older than the other, obviously, but two very, very good guys, good players. Are part of Nick Hill's linebacking core. So going to be really exciting to kind of see how that shakes out. And I believe that's a 6 o'clock game next Friday. And we'll talk a little bit more about it next week, but I'm very much looking forward to that game.
I don't really know why they moved that. I haven't really heard. But I know a lot of times in the spring they move things because they don't want to interfere with Kentucky Derby weekend.
Yep.
They're having the Paducah Derby this weekend, and it may have been moved because they didn't want to interfere with that.
Yeah, Paducah. The Paducah Derby, which, by the way, I do need to get a couple ducks for.
Charity for the Merriman House, a charity event.
First of all, absolutely, it's a huge charity event for the Merriman House. It's their first year doing it, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they've had it in the past. She at least mentioned something in the past about normally we don't do this, so they've at least had something to do with this.
Okay.
Past. They have pictures from it previously, which would tell me they must have had it at some point.
This is a sporting event because it's ducks racing.
Yes.
Plastic ducks.
Plastic ducks.
But ducks nonetheless.
That's right. You buy them.
Ducks Unlimited.
You can win some money. They have first, second, and third, I think. And it's this Saturday at Noble Park. You can't come out and watch. And because of that, they want someone to announce it. And who knows more about plastic duck racing than me.
Neil Bradley.
Basically anyone on the planet, probably.
So they called you in to do it.
I don't know what I'm doing, but that's how my career is going. Girls Sweet 16, racer basketball, football, now the Paducah Derby. So
it'll be the highlight of your career.
Top. It is, yeah, Neil. It's the top.
And here's the thing. I've already made this point pre-show, but Neil, you have two ducks in the hunt.
I do.
Duck hunt.
I do.
So if one of your ducks is going to win it.
It'll be controversy. You'll probably be written up. He does this and he wins. Oh,
no.
I'm sure that's a coincidence.
No, I think it's going to bring an elevation to the race because if one of your ducks is about to win a nice fat win, place, or show prize, I mean, that's going to be, because it's first, second, third.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be terrific.
Of course.
You have a vetting interest in this.
I really do.
It's even better now that you have a vetting betting interest.
And
so
see, usually I blame the jockey when I'm at horse racing. Who do I blame here if my duck doesn't do well?
Gravity.
Okay, I guess
the waves.
Yeah, he was fouled. The blue lip duck got in front of him.
Yeah,
what are you doing out there?
He pushed him out of his lane.
Oh, my gosh.
It's absolutely a sporting event, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely a sporting event.
And again, all for a great cause. If you don't know about the Merriman House, you can look it up. They do fantastic work, and this is something that Brian. I know last year. I guess they have had it at least 1 year because they talked about the amount of money that they had raised last year.
Yeah.
They had to move it from April to October because of COVID.
That would be why I did. I just thought this was a new event, but it's not. It's an old event that it's been a new time.
New time, yes.
That's kind of where we are.
There you go.
In this regard, want to stay a little bit in line with it. That was a great segment.
I'm driving all over the place.
I love it. No, it's
Ed's
great.
Here, and I'm pushing him right off.
No,
the cliff.
Absolutely. We need as many lanes. This is life in the fast lane. Thanks, Don Henley and the Eagles. The deal here is, you know, we talked SEMO SIU, we talked the Paducah Derby. You know, obviously that's why SEMO SIU had to move. The Battle of the Wheel, by the way, with SEMO SIU. And then there's Jacksonville State that is one of the other OVC teams that's playing football right now. We know EKU is playing. We've talked a lot about them. But I briefly wanted to bring up Jacksonville State because nobody really knows what they're going to look like in the spring. Because the question that Craig Haley has brought up from FCS football and all of his sports news is Jacksonville State's 2-1 right now. They played Florida State extremely well. This is the same Florida State, by the way, that just beat fifth-ranked North Carolina. And Zarek Cooper and Trey Berry, quarterback tight end, might declare for the NFL draft if they're that good.
Right.
You know, they're having terrific seasons right now from a numbers perspective. Trey Berry alone has 14 catches and more than 200 yards receiving in three games at the tight end position. And, again, this is against Florida State, Georgia State, and North Alabama, and they've won their last two games. So, you know, this is the same Georgia State, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't Murray State supposed to play Georgia State?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this is a good Jacksonville State team, and how they've opted in. They're in so far for the spring schedule. EKU is the only OVC team that's like, nah, the hell with this. We're not going to play in the spring. We're doing our own mm-hmm. thing in the fall. That's fine. They're making their money. But how that all plays out for Jacksonville State, which is, you know, again, it was going to be one of the four or five teams in the OVC competing for a title. I think the parity is very real in the OVC, very existent. But, you know, John Gross and his team might be looking for a new quarterback in the spring. And, again, this is all speculation. But this is one of those interesting things, Neil, that the spring is going to bring about for all FCS programs, but especially in the OVC, is if your talent, your older talent, your juniors and seniors and whatnot, that are eligible for the 2021 NFL draft, they've got to make a choice. Because, you know, the NFL draft is very likely going to take place either during or right after the FCS season, and there's no preparation. So, if you're a draft candidate who you think has a chance to get selected in any of the top seven rounds, you know, and not an undrafted free agent,
right.
You got to make that choice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough choice.
It is. And I don't know. I would, if I were those guys, try to get enough input so you're pretty certain. Because if you're going to be a free agent anyway, go ahead and play. But, from a money standpoint, that will be something they'll have to consider.
Well, and you talk about, it's just like the NBA, your first, second, third rounders, you know, and sometimes even your fourth rounders, if it's the right contract, you can get a pretty good four-year deal, mm-hmm. you know, and if you get that kind of security, I don't necessarily know if you come back and you play, you know, your third and fourth season. What good does it do guys like Berry and Zarek Cooper to come in and play the spring if they've put enough tape together this fall in their four-game slate that they mm-hmm. have? So Jacksonville State does play Florida International this Friday at 6, and anybody interested in FCS OVC football, I think that'll be an interesting football game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just one of those situations where we're watching the rest of the OVC kind of, you know, discover itself in this
yeah.
whole situation, and a lot of these teams are going to be maybe a little bit more prepared than others in the spring.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I wonder what kind of advantage Jacksonville State, SEMO, just playing the one game, but they're having the actual football practice
yeah.
because of it. And Austin Peay, I wonder what sort of advantages they will have because of this extra time they've
right.
put on the field playing games and preparing for games.
And extra money, too.
Yeah, that's
some
right.
of these games for some of these programs are big-time money games. I mean, Austin Peay got paid a decent amount of money to go get mollywopped by, you know, teams like Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And I believe they played Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did they play Marshall as well?
That was EKU that played Marshall.
That's right. That's right. And they got mollywopped.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I'm not against that. I mean, if you know what you're doing and you know that's what you're doing it for and you're getting reps and you're learning your system
yeah.
and, you know, your rhythm and your regimen, so be it. You
and got for EKU, they're playing 9 games.
Yeah.
I mean, or going to try to anyway.
Yeah, they're going to have a full regimen.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. I hate the cliche, but it is. There's a reason why it's cliche.
That's right.
Because it's truth. You know, so that's where we are. But looking forward to seeing how the rest of the FCS plays out, some of these games, and how the OVC really plays out. And we'll move forward. The speaking of moving forward, forwards, your favorite game, soccer.
What?
You're a huge soccer fan.
Well, I'm huge. I don't know about the soccer fan part.
You're not huge. Good Lord. The high school sports slate, I know there seems to be some teetering questions around Jefferson County. I know that continues to be a major discussion around the Louisville area as to how they're going to attack the rest of the fall as COVID numbers continue to rise in specific parts of the state. Other parts of the state, it doesn't seem to be an issue, but I think we knew that this was coming at some point or another from a discussion perspective. But in the meantime, while Louisville continues to battle its own fight in the conversation of high school sports here in the first region, we've got a little bit of COVID issues, but soccer, volleyball, looks like basketball is probably going to try and start on time again, knock on some wood, but soccer has been phenomenal the last three or four nights. I mean, it's absolutely, the Murray Lady Tigers are on a tear like no other. You beat Graves a second time, after holding on to your own 3-0 lead. And then you were down 3-0 last night.
It's over. Pack it up. Come home.
I think it was just starting.
You're done. At least that's what conventional wisdom tell you. Obviously, they don't subscribe to conventional wisdom there.
No.
Because they came back and won in double overtime.
Yeah, it was crazy, Neil. And I'm not going to really fault anybody. I thought it was a great game. I have a hard time really faulting McCracken.
Well, sometimes players make great plays and win. And that may have been what happened last night.
Angela Gearhart hit two of the best corner shots I've ever seen. She just avoided a header entirely. To describe in layman's terms for those who are the uninitiated in soccer, that being Neil Bradley right across from me, wearing his Memphis Grizzlies t-shirt, by the way. It's really nice. The shots that Angela Gearhart hit at... on this soccer pitch, which was at Marquette Stadium, the turf of McCracken County's football field, which, by the way, it's rained like 6 inches here in the last 48 hours. And then there was a thick fog last night.
I saw a picture from that. It looked fake.
It was amazing.
It looked like a fake picture.
Absolutely beautiful.
Like, oh, that's not real.
Absolutely beautiful. Made playing soccer at the boys' regional tournament late last night against St. Mary and Marshall, I'm sure, very difficult. But, I mean, you just... You just play and see what happens. But, you know, back over at McCracken, you know, this is a Lady Mustangs team that was looking to repeat as at least runners-up. They wanted to get back to the first region championship. They made it for the first time in 2019. They wanted to get back in 2020. They had a bevy of seniors, super talented team. This is a McCracken team that at the beginning of the year beat Murray. I was at the game, 4-1. And then Murray just, you know, McCracken had a 3-0 lead. And again, I'm going to go back to Angela Gearhart, who's headed to Murray State to be whatever, you know, they need her to be. Matt Lodge has got a player in Angela Gearhart. And we've known that for years over the last three or four. She's grown up as a basketball star. She's hit big-time shots in basketball. Matter of fact, they call her Big Shot Ange.
But she thrives on the pressure, it seems like.
Yeah.
One of those kind of players, no matter the sport.
Absolutely. And both of the corners, so they're down 3-0. Both of the corners that she hit were bending shots that just curved into the goal. Like, the goalie had no chance. There was no woman on McCracken's team tall enough to, like, get a header on the ball, like, get up high and knock it out of the goal. Mm-hmm. Her second shot, Neil... And I know you've seen a soccer field once or twice. The ball bounced off of the back post and into the net, like a dunk. Like, imagine imagine.
It's tough to do.
It's the best. Oh yeah, it was absolutely an immaculate shot. And I mean, again, I knew when it was going in, there was not a single individual. There are men that wouldn't have stopped that shot. There are men playing like, and I know it's not. This is not Euro League, but there are a lot of goalies that would have still missed getting that goal. Like, there's just no way. It was indefensible, is what I wrote. Mm-hmm. There's no way you were going to get. And then another shot just slipped through the keeper's hands, and that was the one real mistake. Possession was about 50-50 for the final 40, 45 minutes, and then in double overtime it was 50-50. And Kyra Jones picked up the brace with 4 seconds to go. And I've only seen two golden goals happen in the final 30 seconds, and one was Taylor Richardson in the OVC Championship. You remember that against SEMO? Were you at that?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I do, and it was sin-freaking-sational. SEMO had played lights out, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the 2015 championship at Cutchin Field. She hit a golden goal with 3 seconds left before it was going to go to shootout.
Wow.
And that's exactly what Murray did last night. To avoid shootout, Kyra Jones hit it with her left foot and scored.
Their version of a buzzer beater.
Buzzer beater. For the most part. Absolutely a buzzer beater. There were the 30. Like, in soccer, you don't see the time run out because there's always extra time and stoppage and whatnot.
Yes, there is.
Right. And I know you're just a huge fan of just free time all over the place. But
I just think we should do it in every sport.
Right.
Not just soccer.
The second overtime, time is running out. There is no, it's 2 5-minute halves, no matter what happens, and then you go to shootout. And the clock was ticking. 33, 32, 31, game winner. And it was just, and it was another goal that Carson Allard, their goalie, who's coached by Shauna Traylor, actually Murray's coach, in the offseason through travel soccer, she couldn't reach it. There was no one to go get it. It was just a rainbow. And Murray won. And shots were even. Possession was even. It was a very even game, and somebody had to win. And it was the Lady Tigers advancing to play Marshall County once again for the regional championship on Thursday. So a lot of fun. And then boys, you know, boys ended up being pretty magical as well. McCracken came away with a fairly large win against Murray, and Marshall came away with a pretty sizable win against St. Mary. So just going to be really fun on Thursday in Draftonville and Paducah. Two big-time championships, and those winners will advance to state tournament play and sub-state next week. So going to be really exciting. In the meantime, we've got McCracken County Volleyball doing its thing. So yeah. That's the other.
Everyone else is deciding who they're playing.
Right.
That's all that is.
And McCracken, yeah, McCracken is now, Jeff Bidwell was, WPSD had done a little bit of research, and you and I were talking a little bit about this. They are 100-0 against the first region.
And I told you, that sounds like a lie. If I didn't know it was true, it sounds like, come on.
Yeah.
Someone's won a set or two, right?
Not even, yeah, that's the other addition to it. They've gone 100-0 against the first region since the school's inception, and they've never lost a set. That just continues to just, and that'll always, that, like, that continues to add.
Because it's like college playing against high school. It's kind of, that's what you'd expect if Murray State played the high school schedule.
That is exactly.
They'd just hammer them and win every game, not lose a set.
Yeah.
But that's not the, one high school, a big one, but it, still, I mean, there's some other big high schools that don't do what they do.
The crazy thing about McCracken volleyball, too, is despite their success this year, they don't have a single girl in the top 30 in the state in kills.
Hmm.
They've got three young women in Caroline Civils.
I know her.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jada Harris, and there's a third, and I am trying to – Jenna Henshaw. The three of them are averaging, like, about three kills apiece per game, per match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a libero in Piper Mullinax, who is like their point guard, so to speak, that's averaging like in the top 10 in the state in assists. That's it. Like, they're just so balanced.
Wow.
They're so effective. They're so lethal, and they're big at the net. And I'm really looking forward. I will say this. Graves County's playing really well right now under Audrey Dowdy Carview. And Izzy Myers at Ballard Memorial, that's been kind of the story of the year.
They've had a monster season.
They've had a monstrous season. And so is Caldwell County for that
runner
matter.
Up in the state, the A?
Yeah, they lost to ranked Presentation, and they had Presentation on the ropes. And then they lost to Caldwell County, who they had to beat in five sets to get to the Richmond, to get to McBrayer Arena. And then they lost to Caldwell like last week in five sets.
Wow.
Again. So Caldwell's that good, too.
Yeah.
They've had a terrific season. Olivia Mitchell and a couple of their stars around her have been really, really good. And actually, the first region champion has to play. The draw just happened a couple days ago. The first region champion has to play the second region champion. And I'm pretty sure that might be McCracken versus Caldwell.
Could be.
Could be. Could be Ballard Memorial. But again, history is definitely in McCracken County's favor.
Since you're talking high school, I want to throw in a nugget for Callaway County, which is probably the Callaway County football, one of the big stories in West Kentucky.
Let's absolutely talk about it.
Having a terrific season. They're in first place in the district in 4A. They have a big game coming up against Logan County.
Yeah.
But to me, they had it all lined up. They couldn't play 2 weeks because of COVID. They were limited in practice. It's not like, well, we'll just practice for the next. They couldn't do that.
Right.
It was 2 weeks totally off from football in terms of organized team activities. So the excuses were lined up to go to Madisonville and lay an egg, and they didn't. They went over there and won. Defense forced four turnovers. I think they had multiple sacks in the game, three of those by the Waters kid. And they are having a terrific, terrific season. And this is a program that just not long ago, they've already surpassed their win total from the last 2 years this season, or equaled it.
Yeah, last year they went 1-10.
Yeah, and I think none the year before maybe. So they have three victories, so pretty good.
Well, it's just a testament to what they're trying to do with Chris Champion and that staff. Chris graduated from Mayfield.
Ah,
you know
they're good at football.
Yeah. They're pretty good. They're pretty decent. And as a matter of fact, after Mayfield's loss to McCracken, they've gone 5-0. And I understand their schedule got significantly softer in certain spots. But they got a big time game this Friday. I believe it's Mayfield Murray, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And Murray's coming off a overtime win over Caldwell County, but Mayfield's on a roll, and they'll be meeting at Ty Hall and But more often than not, Mayfield's had the upper hand, but we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, Rowdy Sokolowski is actually fixing to be named our Paducah Sun Player of the Week. Again, not affiliated with, for those who inquired, as we try to touch on a lot of different subjects.
Right.
But talking high school sports, Rowdy has been absolutely terrific for Murray. This is his first year starting. Obviously, Hunter Utley, who's now on Murray State's football roster. Hunter, is a four-year starter. For Coach Hodge and grew into that role, and nobody else has really had a place for that. And now here we are with a new, a new quarterback and five touchdowns last week against, the Princeton Tigers, the Caldwell County Tigers. And that game went to an epic overtime, had a controversial regulation finish. I was reading.
Saw that. Yes.
Yeah.
And heard about it.
Yeah. There. Yeah. Well, you don't ever hear about that from Murray fans.
No.
No. Murray.
Not at all.
Murray High fans would never talk about being slighted about it. No, I'm just kidding. You know who else doesn't have a chip on their shoulder? Paducah Tillman fans.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Nobody's ever cheated them out of anything. No, I jest. I understand very much Murray's role in things, and there was a controversial penalty that led to a game tying field goal in Princeton, and then Murray went on to win in overtime, and so I believe got a big fourth down stop to win the game. So it's just fourth and one, wasn't it?
Yeah
a goal line
I was
stand.
Listening to it flipping back and forth between that and the Laker game, and they didn't know if at high school you don't have the high venue,
right?
So you're like, I don't know if he's in or not. He's not. Once you see the officials leaving the field, the game's over.
Yeah.
But until that happened, they didn't know.
Yeah, a little bit of drama and excitement with high school football over the last couple of weeks. So
I'm just glad we're playing. I'm glad the kids are getting to play.
Yeah,
I really am.
Yeah, I'm really glad the kids are getting to play. Like I've said all along, Neil, adults are the ones that are ruining this. If we had no fans, I'd be fine with it. But that's where we are, and the kids are taking advantage. We're seeing some big time moments and some big time situations. I do understand that the crowds aren't nearly as loud or as raucous, but here we are. Speaking of loud and raucous fans, Neil, I'll close with this. The World Series, Game 1 last night, the smallest amount of fans, less than 12,000 fans, it's the smallest amount of fans in 12 decades, 111 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's for a really legit reason.
Right? It is for a very legit reason. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, if you talk about loud and raucous crowds, this is the Dodgers. you know, versus.
But I got to hear him last night. I liked it better than the piped in stuff.
Oh, it was. You could tell.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You could tell that there was fans, big time fans. And you want to know something? I'll have to agree. Casey Brockman, former the Stallion himself, former Murray State quarterback,
horse.
The Wild Horse. I got to give him some credit. He tweeted something earlier this week that basically said Kershaw can rewrite his legacy in this series. And he played extremely well last night alongside this other guy. I don't know if you know him, but his name's Mookie Betts.
Yeah, he's been really good in the postseason. I mean, just catch after catch, big hit after big hit.
Yeah, he could go 0 for 21. I mean, you don't want him to. He's one of the most prolific hitters, you know, in the game right now. But, I mean, he could go 0 for 21 and still be that valuable because defensively he's been a star. His catch against Freddie Freeman late in the NLCS Game 7, I hate it for Braves fans, but, man, Mookie just yanked a home run.
He did.
From Freddie, you know, from old Freddie Freeman. So I just, you know, they haven't announced NL MVP yet.
I don't know.
I don't think they've announced any of the MVPs. Is Freddie a surefire MVP for the Braves, you think?
Oh, you mean for the season?
For the season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers for sure. But he's got to be close.
I don't know, man. Review it and text me later.
Okay.
I think Freddie Freeman probably is in the discussion.
Right.
Well, he's definitely in the discussion. I'd have a hard time to pick against him. If I'm a baseball writer,
I did have one nugget I wanted to throw out when you mentioned Mookie Betts. Betts and Mark Bellinger combined make more than the Tampa Bay Rays entire team.
Oh, you mean
those two dudes?
You mean Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, Cody Bellinger. Yeah, Cody. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
I did know that.
Make
and actually,
more than Tampa Bay's entire
team. Also, another combination.
Who
for
did I say? Matt Bellinger?
Mark
Bellinger. Yeah, he's a shortstop for the Orioles years ago.
That's fine. Yeah. You're allowed to say that.
You know, back in the day,
Mark,
I was old,
Mark Bellinger. No, Jesus. I'll tell you somebody else. There's another combination on the team that makes as much as the Rays do, and it's Kershaw and Betts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not wrong about Bellinger and Betts, but Kershaw and Betts are the same way. And this roster for the Dodgers, I've heard a couple people complain that, and I say a couple, I'm sure it's in the thousands, complain that the Dodgers just are buying a title.
Still got to win on the field. That never.
You got to win the games.
It's their money to spend.
Yeah.
If you have money for your team, then spend it. Because they at least spend it. The Cardinals, we hear, oh, they're going to sign this guy. They're going to sign that guy. Then they don't sign anybody.
That's true.
Oh, let's go with Carpenter
you
and
guys
Dexter Fowler this year. I hear they're hitting the ball well. Yeah, whatever.
You guys didn't even go get Brian Dozier.
We didn't get anybody.
Yeah.
We don't do anything.
For second base.
But they're going to talk about how they're going to do stuff. And then come April, it'll be the same turds out there.
The same Tulsa turds.
That's it. You got it.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, listen, we still have, hopefully, well, I don't know if it'll be a sweep or not. Tampa's defense and Tampa's pitching is, you know, clearly it's two calling cards. I know people, I've seen tweets about people are bored with Tampa Bay's, like, style of baseball. Mm-hmm. Well, you can be bored all day long. They've won 40 games this year.
And I'm going to disagree with Brockman. I still think Kershaw this series in Tampa Bay. If they don't win it, they'll push it to 7.
He was just saying that now is the time for Kershaw to rewrite his legacy because we know he's not had the greatest moments in big-time situations for the
Dodgers.
I saw
a picture in his dugout, and it's genius on the Dodgers' part. It was a September calendar in front of his dugout.
Okay.
And I think he did a great job. I think that was it. So as long as they can keep anybody from ripping that sheet off, he'll be okay.
So that he knows it's not October.
Yeah, he doesn't. Even though he ever sees it's October, it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was October.
I'm supposed to be bad.
Yes, I think that's the key.
I think more than anything, I think what happens, especially in postseason baseball, is the scouting report just becomes so pivotal, so key for baseball teams. You know, that a guy like Matt Adams, who's hitting, you know, what, .095 against lefties, can jack a huge home run against him. You scout and you scout and you scout, and you prepare for a team that you're going to face potentially 6, 7, 8 times. You know, not 8, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to see them freaking 7 days in a, you know, 2 weeks in a row. And, you know, by that 10th swing, you're just like, all right, I got it. Here comes the curveball on a 2-1 count. I'm ready for it. dinger, I'm out of here, ball game. You know, perhaps it's an improbability. Perhaps, Clayton Kershaw hasn't mixed up his pitches well enough. Whatever's happened, there have been some postseason duds.
Yeah.
Last night against
the good.
Was not. Yeah. Last night he was pretty terrific. So, Neil, it's been real.
All right.
It's been fun. It's been real fun.
And we're done. And at least this will shut Dave Winder up. Yeah, we did a podcast.
Yeah, Dave, shut the hell up, man.